Okay, another hour to go with Pharmacist Ben and your phone calls, and we hope we help you. We've got a whole slew of emails for him as well. Tom's got texts and tweets. CriticalHealthNews.com, that's the website. Go to it often. Call this number if you need some help at 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back. Ben Fuchs with us, CriticalHealthNews.com. Ben, a few emails here. We're going to go to the phones. Somebody here with type 1 diabetes wants to lower blood sugar levels with supplements. First of all, you know, you recommend they talk to your doctor. Don't get off your insulin. I assume a type 1 diabetic is taking insulin, right?
Cause than type 2 diabetes, but still, today we're understanding that autoimmune diseases affect the gut bacteria, as we talked about. Like, I hate to keep beating a dead horse here, but the microbiome, those gut bacteria. Scientific American has a really interesting article this month, George, about the relationship of digestive health challenges to diabetes. In fact, they're discovering that when you have bariatric surgery, when you have your intestine shortened, it's a little bit different than typical bariatric surgery, but when they shorten the intestine, diabetes disappears in many folks. This underscores the connection between intestinal health and blood sugar control. It also makes sense when you understand that these bacteria help the body process sugar and help the body process energy. So it turns out that there's a relationship of the digestive system to type 2 diabetes, and all autoimmune diseases have a digestive component as well. Type 1 diabetes is a digestive health challenge as well. So use your gut support. Use your digestive support if you have any autoimmune disease. There's something that gets into the bloodstream called circulating immune complexes, which is globs of immune cells that are combined with foods that leak in through what's called leaky gut. You probably heard of leaky gut syndrome.
Yes.
Leaky gut syndrome is literally when food particles enter into the bloodstream. When that occurs, the body mounts an immune or a defensive response against those food particles, literally little pieces of hamburger, little pieces of soy, little pieces of gluten that get into the bloodstream. The body will manifest a defensive response. It'll surround those little particles of food with immune cells, and now you have a glob of immune cells and foods floating around in your blood. They're called circulating immune complexes, and these circulating immune complexes eventually will come to rest in your pancreas, or they'll come to rest in your joints, or they'll come to rest in your kidneys, or they'll come to rest in various soft tissues of the body, and they will initiate a second defensive response against the pancreas, against the connective tissue, against the kidneys, against the thyroid. We call that autoimmune disease. But again, it begins at the level of the intestine. It begins with leaky gut and the wrong kinds of foods. Support the microbiome. Use your nightly essence. Eat your fiber. Eat fermented foods. Restrict your calories. It really, George, do you hear us saying the same things over and over again?
Yeah.
That's how simple this stuff is. We've been led to believe that medicine is a mystery, that health is a mystery. We've been medicalized. The more we get medicalized, the sicker we get, because it's not a mystery and it's not a medical issue. You know, the word med comes from middleman. The medical profession has inserted itself as a middleman, the way priests used to insert themselves as a middleman between us and God. Now we have a middleman between us and our divine healing mechanisms that are built into the body and that are leveraged through just common sense actions, eating less food, eating right food, staying away from drugs, making sure you're relaxing your body. The same simple little things that we say over and over again are really what we need to be leveraging, and there's no way you can underestimate the importance of getting on a good, all-around Mighty 90 Essential Nutrient Nutritional Supplement Program. It's part of the whole picture.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Danuta in San Diego, west of the Rockies. Hi, Danuta. Go ahead.
Oh, Dr. Ben, I'm amazed I got through. Give me
a
heart attack.
He's not a doctor. Not a doctor. A pharmacist.
A pharmacist, no.
That's
but,
okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, of course.
What would you recommend for lipomas? Fat tumors that I've had for when I was in my 40s, there were like 8 of them abdominally. I'm 63 right now, and they've increased in numbers.
Yeah.
And some of them are like pea-sized, and they're very painful. What would you recommend for that?
It's a sign that you're not processing your fats. The body is composed of all of biology and biochemistry is composed of two sections or two categories. water-soluble and fat-soluble. In the body, you have water chemistry and you have fat chemistry. The fat chemistry is dealing with fats is much more difficult for the body than dealing with water. It's kind of like if you have peanut butter and jelly on a fork or on a knife and you put it under the water, the jelly will rinse off real quick, but the fats stick. Fats are very difficult for the body to process. Lipomas represent some kind of issue with processing fats. It's very common in women, especially postmenopausal, because of estrogen, but you don't have to be postmenopausal. You can just have estrogen problems. Estrogen is a very, very fascinating hormone. Most of the time when we think of estrogen, we think of hormone replacement therapy. And
men have estrogen too, right?
Men make estrogen. There's estrogen in your brain, and estrogen is a big, big problem because when it breaks down, it becomes toxic. And as we get older, men and women, but especially women, we don't process our estrogen as well. Toxic estrogens build up, and this can cause all kinds of health challenges from breast cancer and uterine cancer to autoimmune diseases, even Alzheimer's disease. So helping the body process fats is critical, ma'am. And I would be using digestive enzymes with all your meals. You can get our ultimate enzymes from Critical Health News. Again, I hate to keep saying it, but gut bacteria are very important for processing estrogen and processing fats. So making sure that you're supporting intestinal health. I guarantee you, you know this, I'm sure, ma'am, that you have had digestive health problems probably your whole life, but certainly as you've developed these lipomas because they go hand in hand. So doing a food diary, looking for foods that cause digestive distress, and helping your body process foods in general, but fats specifically, using your ultimate enzymes. You can get those on Critical Health News and using your ultimate nightly essence, apple cider vinegar with all your meals, grinding up your fats in a food processor or blender. That can also help you, making sure you chew your food. Chewing food is a really incredibly important health strategy. Chewing your food very, very slowly, making sure that a lot of saliva contacts that food, that can help the digestive process as well. So focus on digestive health, the intestine, and how your body processes.
We used to make fun of my uncle when he was chewing his food because it was like a cow chewing its cud. And he just went on and on and on, and we just laughed about it as kids. But he was smart.
Yes, he was. You know, food processors put softeners in the food. They'll use things like phosphates to help attract water and make the food soft. That's why chicken places, especially, you can taste the chicken, it like melts in your mouth. Chicken's not supposed to melt in your mouth. But food processors know that the less you chew, or the less you chew, the faster you swallow, the more you'll eat. So conversely, the more you chew, the less you eat. In fact, chewing your food is one of the great, all-time great diet strategies for folks who can't stop eating.
Hollywood, Maryland, we go. Frank is with us. Frank, hi.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Thanks.
Our pharmacist, Ben,
yes,
I want to thank you and congratulate you for solving my hiccups. You know, 3 months ago or thereabouts, I called you. It's such an insignificant ailment. I didn't even want to bother you with it, but you cured the procedure you told me, it cured it in a New York nanosecond. Not a New York minute, but a New York nanosecond.
Well, praise God. That wasn't me. That was you. That was the divine force.
I haven't had problems with it since. Because before you cured me, I had a 3-day bout with the hiccups. Now, would you relate to the masses that tongue in the top of the mouth procedure, and then after that, in the run of the show, would you explain what acid reflux is? My stepson has it.
I'll explain acid. I didn't hear the first thing you said, but
just to do a quick update on how you got rid of his hiccups.
I don't remember. I probably told him activate the parasympathetic nervous system, slow deep breathing, relax the body. Is probably what I told him. I'm not sure. That's what I would tell him.
And what's the tongue on the roof of the mouth?
The tongue on the roof of the mouth. That's another good one. That activates. You have a center for the I keep saying these big words. The parasympathetic nervous system is your relaxation nervous system. Your sympathetic nervous system is your stress nervous system. You have a little connection to the so-called relaxation nervous system at the top of your mouth, right where your soft palate meets your hard palate. You know how it gets harder and it's hard in the front and then it gets softer in the back. Right where those two parts meet, you have a connection to the relaxation nervous system. In fact, ancient yogis used to meditate by putting their tongue right on that area because that activates this relaxation nervous system. So that's a wonderful strategy for any kind of stress management. Acid
reflux.
Acid reflux, right. Acid reflux is a loose valve a loose sphincter that connects the esophagus to the digestive tract. This sphincter loosens when we eat the wrong food or we're under stress. So focusing on the kinds of foods that cause the reflux is very important. Relaxing the body while you're eating and while you're processing your food is very important. This is why religions and ancient cultures always say grace before they eat. When you say grace, you're actually activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Praying and...
Really?
Yes, praying and being grateful and being loving and all of the things we call the virtues are really about being safe, about activating the parasympathetic nervous system. When religious people talk about being saved, what they really mean is being safe. We need to access the safety mechanism, and one of the key ways to do it is by focusing on divinity or spirituality or God or whatever you want to call it. So acid reflux is a manifestation of the body in distress. Calming the body down is very important. And once again, we go back to the microbiome, the bacteria in the gut. When you have the wrong kinds of bacteria proliferating in the gut, gases can be released, and this can cause exacerbate the problem. Backtrack to the foods that you're eating. Use digestive support. Relax your body as you're digesting your food. You should never eat while you're on the run or eating in business meetings or eating when you're angry. It's a great way to make sure that you get acid reflux, indigestion, and malabsorption.
We take your text questions, and Tom has them.
Ben, we have a text from Autumn in Phoenix, Arizona. My son periodically has respiratory issues, and I was wondering if using colloidal silver in a nebulizer would help.
You know, colloidal silver is interesting. I like to look at more at the causes rather than killing something or medicating something. Colloidal silver is a medicine. Sometimes you need medicine.
It's an antiseptic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an antiseptic. It's a wonderful medicine, and sometimes you need medicine. The respiratory tract, there's a large colony, if you will, of the immune system that lives in the respiratory tract. So periodic respiratory issues, whether you're talking about asthma or wheezing or sleep apnea, need to be regarded once again as a sign that the body's immune system has been activated. This fancy schmancy term, immune system, is best thought of as the defense department. Just like a country has a defense department and an army and a navy and an air force, the divine force has seen fit to give the human body, the biological system, a defense department, and that's called the immune system. When the immune system is activated, one of the things that can occur is changes in breathing, and this can manifest itself, especially if the body is destabilized long-term with all kinds of respiratory problems, especially problematic, by the way, in children. And you'll notice, a lot of kids will notice, or a lot of parents will notice, that asthma and eczema go hand in hand. And eczema, as it turns out, is asthma of the skin, or asthma is eczema of the respiratory system. And ear infections in children are another example of these same kinds of immune responses, which are usually a sign that something has gotten into the body, gotten into the system that has alerted the defense department. And unless somebody is sticking things in through their skin into their blood, chances are pretty good it has to do with either gluten or dairy or plant compounds that are called lectins. I don't know if you've heard of that term, L-E-C-T-I-N-S, lectins, or something that we're eating.
Let's go to Ronald in Mississippi now on the wildcard line. Ronald, hi there.
Yeah, I have a question. There seems to be just a stigma against all medications for pain. Don't patients in chronic pain get some assistance from who are non-opioid abusers? Everybody who uses chronic pain medication or narcotics are not addicts.
That's a great point, and I'm a big believer in pain pills. I say this all the time. I've experienced the joy of morphine. You know, not as a necessarily recreational, I'm not talking about, but when I got out of knee surgery, and I've told the story before, I was so happy that I had morphine, I can't even describe it. And that's the only time I've really had severe pain. The problem with pain pills is, number one, you develop tolerance, and this causes addiction. And sometimes people, when they're on pain pills, they can take 30 or 40 pain pills a day. I had a gal when I was working in the pharmacy who was doing some not nice stuff with prescriptions, and she ended up, I caught her eating 80 Percocets all at one time, shoving them in her mouth, because she was so her body becomes so tolerant to the pain pills. The second issue is pain pills cause malabsorption of nutrients and constipation. This increases toxicity and makes matters worse. And this is the devil's bargain that we make when we start to use drugs. Yes, there are times you need them, antibiotics and pain pills particularly, but it's a Faustian bargain, if I use that term correctly, where we're making a deal with the devil, and you've got to be extremely, extremely careful not to fall into the trap of addiction and the pitfalls, the quicksand of tolerance.
We have an email in from Kathleen, wants to know about hip arthritis. She's 67. Her doctor recommends a hip replacement. She doesn't want to do that.
You know, I'll tell you what, hip replacements work temporarily, and there's some people who get benefits from knee replacements, hip replacements, shoulder replacements. This is true. The most people who benefit are young and strong. The older folks, they're going to be getting another one 3 or 4 years from now. It's a serious procedure. It's a sign that the body is deteriorating. Whenever the body deteriorates, there's two angles that you have to take. Number one, the wrong thing is getting in. Number two, the right stuff isn't. That means when the body is deteriorating, and arthritis is a classic example of that, the wrong stuff has been getting in. The wrong stuff is processed food and sugar and drugs and things that the body has to purify itself of, foods that we're intolerant to. And the right stuff is the mighty 90 essential nutrients, gut bacteria, oxygen, making sure that you're exercising a little bit. You know, sometimes, George, when people have neuropathies or their muscles are sore, they have arthritis, they don't want to exercise.
You have to.
Exactly. It's the opposite. When the body
push.
When the body is under a little bit of duress, it responds positively. A little bit of duress, such as exercise, quick bursts of exercise, and even if you're obese or you have arthritis, you can still stretch. You can still touch your toes. Just stretching is an amazing way to turn on the growth of connective tissue.
Ben, the website, of course, is criticalhealthnews.com. There are people standing by to answer other questions. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. We sure give out a lot of information, don't we, Ben?
I love it, George, and I will be doing it till the day I die.
What drives you?
You know, there's this thing called the aha experience, where you make connections, and it's this beautiful thing that happens. It's almost like a brain orgasm, where you just make these, you notice two things that were separate, and all of a sudden they come together. I get to do that every day. I get to learn and have these aha experiences every day. And if I just have them for myself, that's not any fun. I want to share it with people. What good it was to know something and have this kind of information and just have it yourself. It's there to be shared with people. And sometimes people want to pay me, you know, they want to pay me for a consultation. I'm like, I can't charge for giving people information. I didn't make it up. This is how the body works.
Indeed it does. Ben, stay with us. We're going to come back just a moment here with the final segment and final phone calls from you for you, Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. Next hour, Making Contact, Jill Tarter in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Looking forward to that. We will be back in a moment with pharmacist Ben and final phone calls. Don't forget criticalhealthnews.com or call this number to talk to a person at 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back to Coast, Ben Fuchs with us, of course, pharmacist Ben from criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, before we go to calls, a few more emails. John from San Francisco. What do you recommend for someone who had his gallbladder removed?
Gallbladder in a bottle are all
gone.
Yeah, the gallbladder, they used to tell you, they don't say it as much anymore, that the gallbladder is some silly little thing you didn't really need, that you could live just fine. Wrong. The gallbladder is the key player, along with the liver, in fat processing and the absorption of fatty vitamins. The fats and fatty vitamins are your youth nutrients. They're the nutrients that keep you young and keep you fertile and help you grow and repair and fight wrinkles. This is one of the reasons as we get older, and especially as women get older, that our skin starts to sag and our bones start to deteriorate. Our connective tissue starts to break down. Without a gallbladder, you're at serious risk for fatty vitamin deficiency. Get yourself on a good enzyme product like our Ultimate Enzymes from criticalhealthnews.com. Use apple cider vinegar with your meals. Make sure that you're using a good probiotic supplement like our Ultimate Nightly Essence. You get that off Critical Health News. Eat your fermented foods. Make sure you're on the Mighty 90 Essential Nutrients. Those are the, you know, I've been saying that the whole program. I guess I should tell people there's 90 nutrients that the body must have that it cannot make, without which there will be diseases.
And you won't get it just from food.
And you cannot get it just from food. And the definition of an essential nutrient is if you don't have it, a disease shows up, period. That's a definition. And to the extent, it's on a continuum, so to the extent you don't have these fatty nutrients or these Mighty 90 essential nutrients, you may get really a big-time disease like scurvy, or you may get a little type of disease, like subclinical scurvy, which will show up as heart disease. You may get full-blown scurvy, which is when your body dissolves, or you may just have osteoporosis. These disease states form on a continuum, and the definition of an essential nutrient is a nutrient that will manifest a disease state no matter where it is on that continuum when you are deficient.
Ross in Woodland Hills, California is a first-time caller here, Ben. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, Ross.
Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you very much for the educational
program. Thank you for holding so long, too.
Thank you, sir. I have actually two questions, two short questions.
Sure.
I have ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
I was diagnosed about 10 years ago. I'm 54 years old.
Okay.
And a lot of times I have bleeding, straining, and I'm taking medication.
Are you taking the salicylic acid derivative?
I take actually mesalamine type medication.
That's an aspirin derivative. That's like aspirin. This is how the medical model works. You get an anti-inflammatory when you have ulcerative colitis. Not why do I have the inflammation, but let's suppress it. Remember, inflammation is a sign that the body is trying to protect itself. It's part of the healing process. Long-term use of anti-inflammatory suppress protection and slow down healing. Ulcerative colitis breaks my heart. It is, and anybody who's ever had just a bellyache, you can only imagine what somebody who suffers from ulcerative colitis is, where you have
pain.
Oh, it's awful, George. It's so awful, awful, indescribable. It's a food condition, period. And by the time you get diagnosed, there's also issues with the bacteria in the gut. But it starts off as a food condition. It's a must. It's not an option. It's a must to do what we call a Swero-V cleanse, where you get you do half a bottle of a fermented whey drink every hour for a couple of days, and then you do a food diary. And then we write down everything you eat and how it relates to your digestive symptoms. Then you eliminate foods that cause problems. Right off the bat, I can tell you gluten and dairy will be involved, probably nuts and eggs, possibly. But you don't want to have a notion of what's good and what's bad, because, you know, people can react to asparagus, or you can react to broccoli. You know, you think, oh, I'm only eating salad. Well, you can react to the lettuce and the tomatoes. So you got to do a food diary where you write down what you eat and how you feel. And don't use your memory, because our memory can deceive us. Write it down. Then you're going to get yourself on our Ultimate Nightly Essence, and these are all available at criticalhealthnews.com. You're going to use Ultimate Enzymes with meals, apple cider vinegar, keep your calories down to a minimum. Basically, you're going to focus on digestive health. Here's the good news. The digestive tract heals quickly. It heals faster than any other system in the body, which means once you correct the problem, you can begin to experience relief in 24 to 48 hours. You could be a new person in a week. That's the beauty of the...
All right, let's get his second question. Ross, what was your other question?
My other question is, what is the highest or lowest dose of probiotic that you would recommend?
All right, what do you recommend on the probiotics?
I recommend people start off at 10 to 15 billion units a day of a supplement that has multiple strains. If there's no fixed answer to that
question. Is that like one capsule or two?
That's about one or two capsules. But there's no fixed answer to that question. I like something called functional dosing. Functional dosing is when you take two and you see how you feel, then you take three and see how you feel, then you take four, and then you take five, and you find a cutoff point where you're not getting any more benefits. That's called functional dosing. You're looking for a sweet spot. So start off with two, and you do go okay, then take three. Oh, I do a little better. Oh, take four. I'm doing a little better. Five, okay, I'm not noticing as much of a difference. So four is your sweet
spot.
Drop
it down.
Yeah, right. That's called functional dosing.
Kat writes, calcified kidney cyst. What does she do?
Calcification in the kidneys represents saturated blood. It means there's so much stuff in the blood. You ever, when you're a kid, put salt in water, and you take a teaspoon, you put it in water, it goes in, a second teaspoon it goes in, a third teaspoon comes in. Then you put a fourth teaspoonful, and it all precipitates. It crystallizes out. That's called supersaturation. That's called saturation or supersaturation. Happens in the blood. When there's a lot of sugar in the blood, when there's a lot of acids in the blood because cells are dying, eventually what ends up happening is stuff saturates out. Calcium is one of the first things or one of the things that can saturate out of the blood, and this is where calcium stones come from. So it represents dirty blood, which is, at the end of the day, is the cause of all health challenges, dirty blood. Blood becomes dirty. Unless you're an IV drug user, the blood only becomes dirty through the digestive tract. Again, focus on food. You can also do things like drinking more water, using vitamin C, but really it represents a long-term food problem. And that's not just calcium crystals, that's also the uric acid crystals we talked about, and also gallstones are another example of supersaturated bile, actually, which is kind of similar to blood. Anytime you have stone formation or crystallization, you're looking at dirty fluids, clogged up. It's like your engine oil is getting dirty and sludgy.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Frank in Hardy, Arkansas, on the wild card line. Frank,
hey,
you're
Frank.
Up.
Hello, good evening, and God bless both of you.
You too, Frank.
For things that you guys do and try to get out the word to everybody about anything and everything. The main issue is my wife was just diagnosed after testing within the past month that her spleen is infected, and that's what's been causing her stomach problems. She's had severe stomach problems most of her life. She's had an esophageal lift, part of her stomach removed, part of her small intestine removed. She's constantly sick all the time to the point she don't want to eat or anything like that. And now they say that her spleen is infected to the point that they want to remove it. It's not where it's ready to rupture or anything like that. They just said it's infected to the point they want to remove it. I was wondering.
You need a spleen.
Supplements and a regimented diet.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting how when we get sick, we don't want to eat, right? It's like our body knows. Our body understands that it doesn't need any more work to do. It needs to do the work of healing. There's a classic demonstration of how intelligent the body is, how it has its own intelligence, and what we need to be doing is listening to it. And the idea of removing organs when they're dysfunctional just blows me away in its absolute ignorance. And I know in 100 years or 200 years, when they look back at our medical model that thought that removing organs when they're somehow dysfunctional is a good idea, they're going to laugh at us. They're going to say how crazy we were. They're going to be amazed that we could operate this way in this barbaric fashion in the 21st century. The spleen is a very, very interesting organ that nobody ever talks about until there's a problem. It's like the Mr. Cellophane. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, Chicago. It's the Mr. Cellophane of the body. It doesn't get any respect. And it happens to be a very, very important organ, especially for the immune system. In fact, it is the second largest immune organ in the body. And without a spleen, you are at serious risk for health challenges for the rest of your life. The spleen is associated with the liver. The fact that your wife has had long-term health challenges tells me that she probably has a liver problem, which means she has a digestive problem. Once again, it's critical that she focuses on the health of the digestive system. Anything she can do to reduce the burden, the load that the digestive system has to carry, eliminating problem foods, everything we've just been talking about, doing a Suero V cleanse or a fast for a couple of days. And by the way, Suero V is spelled Suerovie. It's a fermented whey drink that also contains electrolytes, potassium in particular, that helps energize the body when you're going through your fast. So it's a kind of a way of hacking into the fasting mechanism for folks who don't want to do a total fast. And then when you're done with your Suero V cleanse or your fast, you do a food diary, eliminate problem foods. And as I was saying, the fact that your wife doesn't want to eat represents her body's intelligence, and that's what she wants to be doing at this point, is eating as little food as possible and then isolating the problem foods and then supporting the health of the intestine with your ultimate nightly essence and ultimate enzymes and apple cider vinegar and all the things we've been talking about.
Let's go to our final digital question with you, Tom. What do you have for us?
Coming back with a text from Derek in Massachusetts. Hey, Ben, please ask pharmacist Ben if it's true that mixing water and oatmeal as a drink will help keep your heart healthy.
Oatmeal is a very overrated food, in my opinion.
Doc Wallach would say too much gluten.
It's loaded it doesn't have exactly gluten, but it's similar stuff to gluten. You know how it sticks to your ribs? They always say it sticks to your ribs. That's exactly what you don't want. You don't want any food sticking to your ribs. You want nothing sticking to your body. You want it to go in, get absorbed, and then go out. Same way it sticks inside the pan when you're making it, it's going to stick to your intestines and it's going to cause problems. There are some good things in oatmeal, that being said, but it's not a good, in my opinion, it's not a good food. It's something, grains are very problematic, George. You know, when we eat grains, we're eating a food that the human body just doesn't have the ability to deal with any more than it has the ability to deal with seeds. As we said before, grains and seeds don't want to be eaten. So nature has provided them with chemical weaponry that will punish the silly person that would eat them, i.e. us. And that's why grains have to be processed. They have to be crushed up in order for the body to eat them or for the body to utilize them. There are some good nutrients in them, but in my opinion, they're best avoided.
What do you think of pumpkin seeds? Pretty good for protein.
Wonderful. See, all seeds. You know, here's the thing about seeds and grains. If you sprout a seed, it goes from being a poisonous food to one of nature's best foods. Sprouting a seed by adding water to it, and sprouting pumpkin seeds is incredible. Sprouting a seed activates all the life force that's in that seed. A seed is dormant. Its chemistry is sleeping. It's hibernating, and it's waiting for water and for sunshine and for soil to sprout. When you add water to a seed, you activate all of that energy, and that sleeping, dormant food that puts our body to sleep, essentially, becomes one of nature's best foods, and sprouted seeds are incredibly valuable, especially for vegans and vegetarians, because they contain those life nutrients, those living nutrients that typically are only found in dairy products and eggs and meat. Sprouts contain high amounts of them, high concentrations of them. You do have to be a little bit careful with them. You got to make sure your sprouts are fresh because just like we like sprouts, bacteria like sprouts too. And so sometimes they can be contaminated. You got to be very, very careful with sprouts, especially the ones you buy in the store.
Paul, Oxnard, California, not too far from here. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good, Paul.
How you doing? I know how you doing. 1,000 people asked you already.
We're doing good.
Ben, we're very much on the same frequency. I sent you guys a copy, an earlier copy of a book that I wrote. It's called My Physician and Myself, and it's a lot of the healing practices I did in the first half of my life, or I should say post the first half of my life. I'm 69 years old right now, and I'm in really almost virtually perfect health.
Perfect.
And it had to do with correcting a lot of the stuff that you do when you're young in terms of being a bit crazy with your life. And
yeah,
you probably wouldn't believe what I have in the book. And, well, you would, Ben. And I think you would, George. So I shouldn't phrase it like that. But and one of the things I say is that your body is a healing fool. It is. Now, a couple of things I want to mention real quickly, because I know you've probably got people who need you more than I do right now. In 05, I was in an accident. I trained horses for many years, and I was in a severe accident, lying in the ICU, and they were counting me out, and it was very, very bad. One thing I noticed, something that's not alluded to was, oh, by the way, Ben, morphine, let me tell you, my next horse, I'm going to name Morphine. That is, I'm in total agreement with you.
By the way, really quick, 5.8 earthquake just hit Lincoln, Montana.
Oh, wow.
That's all we know. But go ahead.
No kidding.
Go ahead, Paul.
But it's Montana. There's not a lot to fall down, I hope.
That's right.
Anyway. And while I was there, there was something that I noticed that it never gets alluded to when it comes to obesity. Now, we've had, in the past generation, the obesity is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet there's another factor to it that is so dangerous, and that is that there was a guy next to me in the unit, next to my ICU unit, who was a virtual walrus, and they could not manipulate this guy. And I just thought, this must kill a lot of people. Mm. When they're so significantly overweight, and things are so timely in a hospital that they can't move these people the way they have to move them, there must be deaths in hospital due to obesity that are simply due to the size of the person.
Absolutely, that is the case. And, you know, there's a lot of those things that we don't know about in hospitals where people die from the hospital procedure themselves, because hospitalization medicalization is not perfect, even though we're conditioned to believe it is. Paul, would you send me that copy of that book? I'd love to check it out.
The one that's completed now. I'm not gonna publish it at the moment, because I'm not gonna publish it for about another 9 months or so, because I got too many things to do. But I'll be happy to send it to you, Ben. Thank
That'd
you for
great. That'd be great. And I want to encourage listeners to please send us emails, Ben at criticalhealthnews.com, or just go to criticalhealthnews.com and check the contact page, because we love talking to people and we have so much wonderful information. And really is, I don't want to exaggerate or be hyperbolic, but it is life-changing information. If you've never heard it before, it will literally transform your life, not because of the information or because of us, because it will allow you to leverage what's in you. This is really about the unbelievably beautiful nature of the human body, the God-given ability that it has to heal itself, no matter what your health challenge is.
My mother, Ben, is 88 years old, listens to the show religiously, will probably call me tomorrow about you. And, you know, she has been into supplements and alternative health since I can remember. I mean, I used to remember when I moved to Minneapolis, I was 28 years old, running a TV station. She would mail me so many clippings and articles at the time. We didn't, you know, have the computers to really, you know, forward stuff like we do today. So she'd mail me all these things, Dr. Weil and all those people.
You could do a great health show, George. You know a lot of stuff about health. And you look great yourself, too, by the way, for the listeners.
Not bad for 95, huh?
Oh, you look awesome, George.
Ben,
awesome.
I want to thank you once again for being on the program. Pharmacist Ben, he pops up every once in a while to give you some great information from criticalhealthnews.com. Again, you can call 1-855-949-7234.